Beloved congregation, we read in Romans 11, verse 29, for the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. That a text refers to the unchangeableness of the Lord. Unchangeable in his essence, unchangeable in his counsel, and unchangeable also in confirming what he had promised unto his people. In regard to the threatenings towards the wicked, then it is the same, of course. There shall never fall one word upon earth of all the words which the Lord had spoken. The Lord confirms it, as we read also in this text, for the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. That means whatever comes in between, whatever would happen also in the life of God's children, the Lord shall never draw his hand away from those that he had loved with a love eternal. And that he always, whatever had happened, that he had always come back to confirm his own work in the heart of his people. But of course, then they have to lay a foundation. That is not something where every man is sharing in, no, but that is only for those in whose heart are the ways of the Lord, and those in whose heart is the love of God shed abroad. This evening, my text is in the Gospel of John, the 21st chapter. I read only the first part of that text. So when they have dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than this? Thus far, I would write above this text this evening the grand question. The question itself and the seriousness of it, that are my two thoughts for this evening. So, that is the start of that text. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than this? The first thing what we will consider with you this evening is why that Christ first dined with his disciples before that he placed that grand question before Peter. Last week in the morning we have heard about the third revelation of Christ unto his disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And there was a gladness in the heart of the disciples when that took place, especially when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord who appeared there on the shore. Then immediately he jumped in the water, and harder or faster than any fish ever had done, he was swimming to Christ. So strong was the love towards Christ in his heart. And of course, that Peter, the first day of the resurrection of Christ, he was visited by Christ and accepted again as a child of God. That stumble block that was taken out of the way, the result of that was that Peter afterwards became that freedom and that liberty that there was before in his heart. There was only one period and a little time that he was standing in the back. That was on the morning of the resurrection of Christ. Then that freedom that was gone, because he knew that mountain of sin that lay between him and Christ. But that mountain was now taken away. Still, there was something that was not brought to solution, because he had sinned as a child of God, but he had also sinned as an apostle of Christ. He had ruined his office, and now thinking about that heavy task that was laying upon him also for the future, it was necessary that Christ would restore him in his office. That was necessary for Peter himself, and that was necessary for the disciples, and that was in the first place necessary for us too. Necessary for Peter, Calvin, whom we follow in his dogmatic and also in his explanation of the truth, Calvin, he wrote in one of his books that the restoration of Peter in his office as an apostle was necessary to execute later on his offers in the church, assured that he was really called by the Lord, and that he from that time on received that former boldness to preach the gospel and the confirming in his offers that have to strengthen that Peter for the future. For the hearers was it also necessary that Peter in public would be restored, that for the hearers that spot that there lay upon him, upon his person, that it would be taken away, that the hearers would not disdain nor disregard that Peter in his preaching. And also the necessity for us living also in this time, so many years later, Calvin, he said, it was necessary for us too that we could accept that Peter again as a new man, that he had received by renewal authority from the Lord Jesus Christ, and that authority could not be diminished or lessened or cut down. But now the question that I placed this evening in the beginning, why did Christ not start immediately with Peter, but that they first have a dinner there, that they were eating there first together? There was a reason for that, I would say in my words, and I hope that you all can understand it. Peter knew for himself that there was still a stumble block that lay there. And how that the reaction of Christ would be, that was for him a question. That was an open question for Peter. And of course, we can realize out of 1 Peter 5, verse 8, that he was no stranger of the vexation and assaults of the devil. Because he said in one of his epistles that the devil goes around as a roaring lion seeking to devour. And it is not all written in the Bible, of course, that is impossible that the world could not contain the books that should be written, but that Peter have much to do with the devil in that time, you can realize that. And now Christ He had first a dinner, not only with Peter, but with the other six disciples too. Because there were seven in number there at the Sea of Tiberias. Especially for that Peter to calm him down. To take away out of his heart that slavish fear. Therefore, said that text, so when they had dined, how long that have that taken place, we don't know. But of course, they have dined with one another. And you can well realize that Christ had talked with his disciples because he showed time and again how glad that he was to see his disciples. But then finally, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? The manner in which Christ spoke here to Peter, and that three times, Simon, Jonas' son, that remind Peter how that Christ in John 1 verse 42 addressed him also. Then he spoke to him as Simon, Jonas' son. And now in those 3 years that lay in between, there had taken place many things. Alas, that Peter, he had trusted in himself. He was leaning upon his own strength. Alas, there came even a moment that he elevated himself above all those other disciples, because he said to Christ, maybe they shall leave you, but I promise thee that I always shall be with thee, even that thou have to die, then I will die with thee. I never shall leave thee, and I never shall forsake thee. There were other times in his life too, of course. In John 6, then that Peter that had said to Christ, we have confessed and we have believed that thou art the Son of God. In another place he said, Lord, we have left everything and we have followed thee. And in Matthew 16 verse 18, then he made a very wonderful confession. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And of course, I shall not talk longer about that this evening. Peter sinned not with his heart, well with his tongue, but not with his heart. And Peter sinned out of weakness, but not intentional. No. Pieter was surprised. Even following Christ to Caiaphas, that was out of love towards Christ. It was really in his heart to stand by Christ. It was really in his heart to follow him, to die with him. But he thought too much about himself. I can say it in a different way, maybe easier to follow it. Peter have to break his legs. To become a real apostle of Jesus Christ. That is with every minister. We all have to break our legs. I say that once in a place in the Netherlands, when I was over there some years ago, of course, they have called me too many times and I declined there. And then at the end of one service in the evening, I say to the congregation, I hope that the Lord gave you soon another minister. And well, a minister that had broken his legs. And then there was a little boy. When he came home in the evening, he said to his father, he said, what must we do with such a minister with broken legs? He say he cannot stand on the pulpit. We cannot use such a man. But his father said, later on I shall well explain it to you what the meaning is. Peter have to break his legs. Yeah. And then the Lord had used him in a wonderful way. What a humbleness, what a meekness did he reveal in his preaching. He was not standing about an upon a high mountain, oh no. He was a real servant of God. The Holy Spirit was driving him, as you read in the Word of God about Samson, after that he revealed himself in public. Then you read about the driving of the Holy Spirit of that man. So it was also with Peter. And of course now the Lord was ready to examine that Peter. In what now? What question did Christ ask him? Did he ask Peter, dost thou fear me? Dost thou honor me? Dost thou admire me? No. Examine the Lord Peter about his knowledge? No. About his faith? About his hope, about his obedience? No. But the only question, and of course, that is the main question, that is the grand question, as I told you this evening, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than this? Christ says that Peter, whether that he still was standing above the other disciples, was that examination of Christ now necessary for Christ himself? No. Because the Lord, he knows that Peter, outwardly and inwardly, and there was no doubt at all in the heart of Christ in regard to that Peter, that Peter, he had given 3 years so many evidences that he loved Christ. He had done it before Christ suffered and died, but he had also done it after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He had showed his love so many times, and in such a wonderful way, and so strong, that even the Bible speaks in no words about it, how that he had acted towards Christ the first morning of the resurrection, how that he had acted in the evening when Christ revealed himself, the second Sabbath day, where Peter also was present, and few minutes before now, in swimming to Christ, to lay at his feet, to honor him with all that was in his heart. That was for Christ, that was all enough. But what Christ was doing here, that was to take away even for the disciples, and even for the public, all the obstacles out of the way. Christ, he would take care that later on nobody could come with any objection about Peter. The Lord would take away everything out of the way that the executing of the offers of Peter was to the honor of the Lord and to the welfare of the church and to the gladness of God's children. It is even remarkable, congregation, that the Lord had done such a wonderful work in regard to the restoration of that Peter. If you think about Paul, what I now tell you and will say to you, that is, of course, a little to instruct you. When you think about Paul, he had persecuted the church. That men, through his doings, many of God's people were killed. And that was for that Paul, till the end of his life, even that everything was forgiven by the Lord, but still that was a burden upon him even till the end of his life. In the last chapter that he wrote to Timothy, his spiritual son, then he remained there still about what he had done in his life towards the church of God. You read nothing about that in regard to Peter. No. You think it was all forgotten, forgiven? That's clear enough. Was it all forgotten by Peter? No. No. Because the Lord, he forgave the sin of his people perfect. When the Lord forgave the sins of his children, then there is nothing that shall remain. All their sins are forgiven and washed away by the blood of Christ. But to forget what we have done, that is something else. And that shall remain also for God's people as a burden, as long as they are living here in the world. Paul, he speaks in 2 Corinthians about a sharp thorn in his flesh, an angel of Satan that buffeted him. And that refers also to his life that lay behind him. Peter had also something in his life too. Cannot be different. But of course now all that Christ had done and what Christ here asked that people, that was to take all the stumble blocks and all the obstacles out of the way, to restore him perfect. When Peter had cut off the ear of Malchus, then Christ had healed that ear, and there was no scar left, nothing at all. They never could say, look to that Malchus. No. So it was now here also with Peter. He cured that man from all his iniquities, also in denying Christ. That Christ asked 3 times the same question, the grand question, that was of course on account that Peter 3 times had denied the Lord Jesus Christ. But now the grand question this evening, lovest thou me? I have to look into that a little, but of course we will sing before. Number 312, I love the Lord who heard my cry and granted my request. In him who hears and answers prayer, my trust through life shall rest. 312, the first and the first stanza. And now, congregation, that grand question that was not only for Peter, but that is also for all of us as travelers to that great and ever-ending eternity. Lovest thou me? I have read to you this evening 1 Corinthians 13. And there the Apostle Paul, he instructs us about the necessity of love. What there can be in our life, in the appearance of life, even that it can go so far that we can sacrifice our own body for the truth and still lust forever. Therefore, it is such a close examination for each and every one as traveling to eternity. The grand question that Christ here placed for that Peter was, lovest thou me? And in the first place, to know somebody, to love somebody, then we have to know him. Without knowledge of the person, we cannot love him. In this respect, we have a text in 1 Peter 1 that we have to consider, because maybe there is some amongst us that will place a question this evening: do all God's people know Christ? Do all God's children have a revelation of Christ in their heart? We have to consider, really to consider, how that is possible. But now here in 1 Peter 1 verse 8 he said, whom have not seen, ye love. In whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Now Peter, he said here, whom have not seen. He does not say, whom never have heard of him, no, but well, whom have not seen. Rebecca, she loved Isaac without seeing him. This, that is biblical. That is in accordance to the word of God. You know all the history, and I have not to explain that so much this evening, but you know that Eliezer, the servant of Abraham, he declared first the person of Abraham and then the person of Isaac. And then in the third place, he granted to that Rebecca treasures, gifts, jewels, that all came from Isaac. Biblical. In regard to the knowledge of Christ's congregation, especially in the dark times in which we are living, there are not so many that come to a clear revelation of Christ. But we have also to remember that we cannot live without Christ and that we cannot die without Christ. We have to realize that. This is life eternal, that they know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. And there is no other name given under heaven whereby that we must be saved. I will place that in such a way this evening, namely, Christ in the longing of our heart, all Christ known by a personal revelation in our soul. And to make that now clear, that is very easy. The Lord, he said by the prophet Hosea, I shall allure thee, and then bring thou in the wilderness, and there I will speak to your soul. First, the Lord, he allure his people. He poured out his love in their heart. And that love that is poured out in their heart, that killed the love for the world, and that killed also the love to sin. Therefore, the work of God in regeneration, that is a perfect work. Perfect. The world falls away with all the lust thereof. We have heard in this morning what the life is of God's people. That there is a struggle in their life till the end of their life. That there is a strife as long as they are living. But a strife, why? Because that new life is not agreeing with what takes place by that old man of sin in their body. They do not agree with it. I told you sometime before already, if it was possible for God's people to pull out of their heart the root and the branches of sin, they would sign for that this evening. And it was the happiest days in their life that all that wretchedness was taken away from them. All God's people, they agree with that. And they desire to live to the honor and to the glory of the Lord. Lovest thou me? First to know Christ. The revelation by the truth, that is one thing. And in the second place, the revelation personally to their own heart. You read in John 8 about a freedom that the world shall make him free. But then later on in that same chapter, then he said, that namely Christ, if the Son had made you free, then you are truly free. Thus there is a freedom by the revelation of the word in the heart of God's people. They can sit in the church under the preaching. They can sit in their home reading a sermon. And that it is so easy that the Lord included that people by his word. Therefore, that time, that there is nothing that bothered that people. No devil, no sin, no world. But remains that no. That is not remaining. That is not durable. Because when that freedom is gone, then they are again in bands and in captivity. But Christ, he said, if the Son had made you free, then you are truly free. That is the personal freedom that the Lord grant to his people by the power of his Spirit on the foundation of the mediatorial work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lovest thou me? There have to be a certain knowledge of that person in our heart. It happens time and again in our life that we love people without seeing ever that people. Then you read in the Word of God, I gave you an example, shortly, briefly. When you read in the Word of God about Abraham, the father of all the faithful. Then you read about Isaac, the praying man, because that was his life. Then you are jealous to that man. Then your heart goes out to the grace that the Lord had granted in the heart of that man. But, and you love immediately that person. But now the Lord said in his word, blessed is the man that has the God of Jacob for his help. Not the God of Abraham, not the God of Isaac, but the God of Jacob. Yeah. What is now the difference, saints? What is now the difference? What is the difference? I hope you know it. God's children in general, they can easier place themselves with Jacob than that they can do with Abraham and Isaac. Right? Or wrong? If we think about that Abraham and he goes there to the Mount of Moriah, to sacrifice his son. And that unmovable faith that was in his heart. There you see what a wonder work that the Lord has wrought in the heart of that man. You are jealous to it. When you see Isaac there in the field praying in the evening, looking to the stars, where the Lord had said to Abraham and to him, as the stars, so shall be your seed. That firm faith upon the Lord. But now that Jacob, oh, yeah, people. What a life up and down. What a life of trouble. What a life that man revealed himself in his foundation, what he is as man. then it is easy for God's people to shake hands with him. More than with Abraham and with Isaac. When you think about David, oh yeah, I could have talked to you tomorrow about it if I have to give all the examples out of the Bible this evening. But if you think only about Psalm 119, Luther said as a small Bible, and if you do not find your life in that, then you are absolutely standing outside. And I believe that for 100% people. For 100%. And if I think about that, that David teach me, O Lord, the way of truth, and from it I will not depart. If I think about his confession, that he was as a wandering sheep, that he said, seek thy servant, I have not forgotten thy law. Oh, then you love that man. Did you ever see David? No. Augustine, he said, I have desire in my life to see Christ in his incarnation. I have desire in my heart to hear Paul preaching on the pulpit. And I have a desire to look to Peter when he was laboring in the church. You can realize that. Love. There shall be people in my midst that love Watson, Boston, Erskine, Rutherford, Huntington, Bing. They shall have times in their life that they were reading day and night in those books. They have never seen that people, but they love them. Not as person, but on account of the grace that the Lord had wrought in their heart. Lovers, tell me. And now if the Lord comfort us people, then it is his common way to break us off in ourselves. To break us off in ourselves. To come to despair with ourselves. To give it up with ourselves. To come to the realization that there is nothing in me that ever can please the Lord. That I have to condemn myself in everything, but then on the foreground that blessed, that excellent Savior, mediator, and surety of the church, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lovest thou me? And if it goes well with us, congregation, and I have to stop now because the time calls me, but if we love the Lord Jesus Christ in what measures will be, then we hate ourselves. Oh, beloved friends, what a blessed, what a blessed attitude in our life when we hate ourselves. If we love ourselves, we cannot love Christ. But if I hate myself, oh, what a blessing. It is too bad that time and again that I come to the knowledge that I love myself so much. That is an abomination in the sight of the Lord. But that now the Lord uncover us to the fundamentals too, to the bottom, And if he come in our total nothingness before the Lord. But then in our life, if that takes place, congregation, then to receiving something else. What Paul said in Hebrews 12, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And finally, congregation, as a result of the work of the Holy Spirit in our heart, and we have all to examine ourselves at the end of this Sabbath day, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. We hope next time, the Lord willing, to explain it further, lovest thou me. But young and old, examine your heart, whether that there was some time of sometimes a spark of love to that Christ in your heart. That there was a once in time that you could say, I love thee. I love thee, Lord, with my whole heart. And I desire nothing else than to love you to all eternity. With that we can die. With that we can die. But oh, if that is lacking, if that is missing in our life, oh, it was better if we have to die in such a way that we never were born, but young and old, the door of salvation that is still open for the greatest of sinners, that the love of Christ be poured out in your heart, and then that is so wonderful, that is more wonderful than the love of women, as the word of God tells us. Children of God, examine your heart time and again. Rutherford, he said, we must do it every day, because every day it can be the last day. The Lord sanctify the word to our heart and to his honor and glory. Amen. Lord, bless thy word, what we have spoken in this Sabbath day, and what is read and what is instructed to the children, that thy blessing may rest upon it, and that it may please thee to remember each and every one in the week that lays before us. Remember all the widows, orphans and widows, two widows especially, who will have their birthday this week. We commend them at thy throne. One is with us, and the other one, on account of weakness of the body, for many long times he could not come with us. But Lord, we commend them together at thy throne. Supply the needs and wants of the consistory. Bring us back in the evening of the other day to catechize boys and girls together. Remember us in the other part of this week to come back under thy word and testimony. Strengthen and sustain each and every one. Also the teachers of our school, remembering the children and the board, and look upon us, and that everything may be done in the fear of thy holy name. Lord, placed also on walls before our school, that the world is not coming into much, but excluded from it, in the fear of the Lord. Also those parents who are now in the Netherlands and hope to come back at the end of this week, Lord, guide and protect them. Made everything well with each and every one. Prepare us to meet thee in righteousness and in peace, and that for Christ's sake only. Amen. Number 416, I love the Lord, the fount of life and grace. And what follows, 426. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord makes his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.